I'm at Leave Me Alone. Sup.
We'll count it back in 3, 2.
This is Vance Major, producer of Melbourne, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
It's unbelievable. This is as good as it gets. It's unbelievable. Don't know what's gonna happen next. It's unbelievable. You haven't seen nothing yet. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. When I was a kid, I saved up all my dough so I could buy C-3PO. Put Mentos in my Diet Coke in the backseat of the bus. When I was a kid, I ate SpaghettiOs, played laser tag and G.I. Joes. And if you vowed no girls allowed, then you could join the club. When I was a kid, I spent my Saturdays blowing on Nintendo games. The newest thing was Lion King, and I could feel the love. It's unbelievable. Watching action films, and I won't lie, my friends and I.
Hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop BS Scene, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Jacob,
and Lenny.
And today we are continuing some BSing with Suzanne Lambdom, author of the Dead Heart series. So thank you, Suzanne, for staying on with us.
Oh, you bet, guys. I always enjoy talking to you all.
Okay, and as we left off, she was with us with our interview with Mike Monday that she helped us set up, so we do appreciate that as well, Suzanne, that we do.
You bet.
You. Yeah, you're the bomb, yo.
We were kind of talking about your series. I've actually read your third book now. And
oh, you have?
Yes, and I kind of thought your time traveling that you mentioned at the end of the last part where we were with Mike was, you could have even done that in almost a more fleshed out story as well, but... It was like, ooh, this is kind of interesting. And then it was like, oh, it's over.
Well, it'll continue with the vampire trilogy.
Okay.
That's where all the time traveling and everything that you want to know about that gets picked up.
Okay.
So it's a big spoiler, but I can't even tell you. I can't give you any spoilers. Oh, it'll be the time traveling, and you'll find all about those magical Babylonian stones that I've got down in NORAD.
Okay.
So it's all about those. So it's pretty cool and detailed. I don't know where I don't even know where I come up with half the stuff that I write about. But you'll like that vampire trilogy. I had to do something different because I didn't want to do Twilight.
You didn't want the twinkles?
No sparkles.
No sparkles.
Do you think if I did sparkling vampires, anyone would mind?
I would mind. Yes.
They look like they need a bath or something. They've been covered.
He's alive.
Milk.
Hello.
Hello.
I haven't had anything to say yet. I'm
He's just
listening.
Really upset about sparkly vampires.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, now I'm mine.
Now I have something to say.
I pick and choose my battles very carefully.
Suzanne,
well, I wasn't going to do sparkly vampires anyway.
No, now I'm worried about your sparkly vampires.
He was going to do sandpaper vampires.
Oh, see, that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, I love Stephanie Meyer's vampires.
I think
there's the door.
They're silly.
I do. I love them. I love that series.
Oh. Well, a lot of people do.
Me and about, 670 million other people.
There was. I was actually at my band camp, I think, 2 weeks ago now. And I found a bag in the cafeteria, a camper's bag that they left at their table. And I'm a terrible person. So as I brought it to the counselor, I snooped through it a bit. Mm-hmm. I didn't take anything. But I had to make sure it was a camper's bag, you know?
Yeah.
Get all the information.
There you go.
Anyway, she had all three books of Twilight in her bag.
There's four of them, but it's not
There's
a big
four?
Deal.
There's four? Yeah. Okay, well, then she had all four. I don't know how many there are.
Yeah, April gave up on
Jeez.
It.
I can't believe I just told a teenage girl that many books are in the Twilight
I
series.
I read it in fifth grade, and then I repressed most of it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I kept thinking there's three books.
You know, Twilight is not a romance. Bend your mind around that.
Look, this is why I object to Twilight. It's good writing. This is why your heroine is, I don't know, she's bipolar, she's suicidal, she's got a lot of issues, she's also dependent on men, she's not self-sufficient, she's not independent, she's a pain in the ass. I can't stand her. I can't stand her.
Well, and that's a good debate, is that with, you know, everyone hates how, or most everyone hated how Kristen Stewart portrayed Bella in it. You know, they're like, oh, she's got such a dead face. And it's like, well, I mean, but was she actually, I mean, because that's kind of how Bella is. Like, if you don't get anything to work with, you don't give anything out.
I think they nailed it to the wall, but people are just looking for a way to stick them.
No, I like that actress. I think she's really good. I liked her in that Snow White and the Huntsman until she slept with the director. I loved her in that. I think she's a really good actress, but she can only do what's in the script. Yeah, so it's really not her fault.
Did you have
but eyes? I like her. And the movies were good, but I just have a problem with female characters like that. I don't like women being portrayed that they have to have a man in their life or they're not fulfilled. I don't agree with that, especially since I'm a single woman. I don't think that you have to have a guy to be whole. So that was my objection with her character.
People.
And that's not so bad, right? That's just my opinion on I want women to be strong and independent and not, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, what will I do? She just
have any
bitched
of you,
and too much.
Yeah.
She should have picked Jacob.
See, I couldn't get on the Jacob wagon for
Any of you? Yeah, I couldn't either.
Well,
have
I'm totally team Jacob, but you know that's just because we share a name.
God,
have any of you read the short Second Life of Bree Tanner?
I have. Yes.
That, in that book, they really she really goes into a lot more about the way the vampires are, and what I was speaking of specifically, if people would have given me a chance to finish, I'm not a huge fan of the series Twilight and the actors and the movies. The books I haven't even read, by the way, just the short Second Life of Bree Tanner. I read part of Twilight and I couldn't finish it. I have read The Host, though. I do like the writer.
I cannot. I hate The Host. It's so dry.
It is kind of boring at the beginning.
Yeah. And so I think the girl in The Host
it's
is
more
almost
of a psychological
dumber
thing.
Than Bella. Yeah.
Anyway, I really, what I was trying to say was her idea on vampires, and especially this one male vampire tells Bree Tanner in the book, of course they didn't make a movie out of this, that you know how stupid of an idea that vampires could be wounded by a stake of wood. Like it could actually pierce their skin, and I thought about that. I'm like, that's really clever, because you know, for these immortal blood sucking killers that can do anything, they sure are weak to some flimsy little toothpick wood, you know, and things like that. So I thought her idea on the vampire species themselves was very cool. That's what I like the most about her, and I didn't dislike it. I didn't ever read the books. I did watch the movies. I didn't dislike them. My wife watched them with me. It was nice.
So we got some cuddle time.
Yeah. I scored brownie points. It wasn't totally boring. I got into the story.
You know, if you think that about vampires with zombies, I've always thought too, and I didn't write them this way, but technically if you are a walking corpse, your gums are rotting, your teeth are falling out, but yet a zombie can bite through anything.
Yeah, right.
Right, but that's the reason why you love horror and you love supernatural, because you can get away with things that is not real.
I really like the more older idea of the vampire, where'd that come from? Of the zombie coming, you know, to life through the necromantic act, the more kind of comic fantasy zombie, more so than the George Romero zombie. I think maybe in Origination was supposed to be more of a cosmic or fantasy act. I like fantasy. I like your zombies almost better than definitely better than the ones in the movie World War Z, but in the book World War Z, because it's like you didn't have to invent new types of baseball bats to bash zombies' heads. Baseball bats have been bashing human heads for a long time. They'll still do it.
Well, they should be softer anyways.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's that theory, too. But that's not what's important to what I was saying. What I'm just saying is that, you know, it's like, I like what I was saying is I like Suzanne's fantasy zombies that are a little more, I mean, I realize you use a mutating virus, the Z, what is it called? The Z strain? Or?
Yeah, H1N1Z virus. And I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much. I have and I probably told you that story before. They had Max Brooks on the TV show Deadliest Warrior. They had the zombie panel versus the vampire panel, and both sides said one monster can't create the other. And I get a little annoyed in horror, even in supernatural films, because every time you do something, you can do whatever the hell you want. They're not real. You can play with them. So I thought, I can have a virus, and I can do whatever the hell I want. So, right, in my book series, you have zombies at first, but one day, a few people get some zombie goo in their mouth, and they turn into vampire makers, and they can make vampires. But with a virus, I can create whatever I want. I get tired of the purist idea. So the writer, the host, is that the one that has, they can't put the wooden stake through the chest of the vampire? I think that's a brilliant idea. I like when people reinvent monsters and come up with new angles, and you really have to, right? Because it's been so saturated in the market. The movies and books on these particular monsters have been done so much that
I don't know. I don't understand where the purism comes. I don't understand where the purism comes in. People act like they invented this 5,000-year-old mythical being. at least in India, zombies have been believed in for 5,000 years. Let's see. I think it was in the 600s that Saint John the Divine wrote Revelations. Vampires. Yeah, exactly. And you know, at least in the Book of Revelations, zombies are very prominent in the Bible. In that book, and you know, there's zombies in a lot of culture, but specifically by that name, by the word zombie, it comes from a West African god Zambu, who was brought to Haiti through slave trade, and the Zambu beliefs were mixed with Catholicism, again with the Christianity, and they had these witch doctors who would create zombies, which were dead people that they could bring the spirits of even long dead people through to actually speak with the living. So if you're looking at the original concept of what a zombie is, that's what it is. It's a human meat puppet, a dead human meat puppet that spirits can use to talk through. So the growling, unable to speak, totally brainless, but killer attack, you know, awesome killing machine zombie that we know and love today. It was not, you know, so I don't understand where people get this idea of entitled. Somebody told me that that The Walking Dead owned the word zombie. Somebody told me that, and he really truly I got this backwards. They don't use the word zombie, right? He told me that George Romero owned the word zombie, and that's why The Walking Dead doesn't use that word. And he really believed this, and I said, "You're basing this on nothing. There's no, because no one can own any word for one thing."
But I wouldn't put it past a company to try.
Yeah,
they would try to own it.
on that same line, I had a guy that read book one. Won't call him a fan. He came out and goes, "Oh, you're going to get sued by Marvel Comics. One of your characters is called Thor." And I looked at him. I said, "Do you even know who the hell Thor really is? How can they copyright a Norse god that's been around a long time?"
Loki either. Any of their Norse Asgardian myth. All of that's.
Hey, I just saw Thor
way beyond copyright as far as the actual word. Now the way that it's made in their comic and his caricature and his costume, all that's trademarked out the ass.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to get sued for using the word.
But not the Norse mythology.
Well, you know, Suzanne, every one of your readers is an intelligent, insightful human, but they don't always know what to say because they're so goo-goo gaga over getting to meet you that just whatever crap comes across their mind first is what they say to you. So
this is another lovely compliment.
You really have to believe that. You really have to believe that.
So I've actually seen... have you seen the Ghostbusters? I want to get your idea of what you think of Ghostbusters that's coming out.
I have not seen Ghostbusters. I went to Star Trek last night.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. I think Jacob might have hit that one.
I'm really confused. Is this the third Star Trek movie in this new series?
Yep.
Yeah.
So is Anton Yelchin in it?
Yes.
Yes.
And they just left him in it and released it anyway?
Yeah. Well, they were done with, basically.
They were already done.
They were done with shooting and pretty much done with all the posts.
And they're not recasting after.
Right. He'll get written off with a line of dialogue. Yeah. Hey, Chekhov's off doing the thing with the person.
Yeah,
and the stuff.
Well, they could do that, right? The whole universe is rebooted, so right, since Anton's dead, then Chekhov can be dead and not have his character come back.
Well, or they just say, you know, transferred to a different unit.
Right.
Because the Furious franchise did that as well. Because when Dad and I watched...
Paul Walker.
Yeah, spoilers if nobody's watched that yet. But when
I absolutely won't, so there you
okay,
go.
Then it don't matter. But Dad and
I never saw so much waste of cinema in my life.
When we watched Furious 7, we kept waiting for him to die. Yeah, every time he was in a stunt scene, we were like, where is it? And yeah, they just write him off.
That's like in that one show.
Man.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of a bad show. Hot Tub Time Machine, where the guy in the future has an arm off and they go back in time. And the dude keeps waiting for him to get the arm off. And he's like, what? Oh, because he doesn't get his arm. It's super morbid.
So what'd you think of the Star Trek show, Suzanne?
I really enjoyed it. I found some elements. Well, you know what? If you think about any story or movie that you read or you see, you can find something else from another show or another story that reminds you of it. So there had a few elements that reminded me of Guardians of the Galaxy and Mars Attacks.
Okay.
But I don't really want to say
Mars
anything
Attacks.
More.
Hello.
Yeah, Mars Attacks.
Welcome to the 90s.
but I really enjoyed it. But it was funny. There's a scene in the movie where, I'll just say, I don't want to say really what's going on because I don't want to spoil it for anyone. But you see most of the crew off the ship, and you see all the blue uniforms and the red uniforms and the gold uniforms. And I've never seen that many Star Trek uniforms all together at the same time. And it just struck me really odd because when I go to the cons, I see tons of the fans, right, that dress in the uniforms, but never so many at one time, and it almost seemed like, of course, they didn't know what's going to happen to them happens, but it's like, could you wear any brighter red in this kind of a dangerous situation? There's no way to camouflage. There's no way to blend. Those colors are vibrant and strong, and you just looked at it and thought, wow, I had never realized how powerful those three colors are when you're in a dangerous place, and that's all you see. It's like, damn. But I liked it, and it has the big, it's not controversy. The cool thing is that Sulu now has come out, and Sulu is gay in the show,
right,
and his husband and his daughter are in it. And I just read about last night, and the actor that plays Sulu in the movie, he wanted his husband to be Asian. He thought it was more controversial for him in a huge universe to end up with an Asian husband as opposed to another species or, you know, another color. So I thought that was kind of cool.
True.
So they cut out their kissing scene, and then the guy they cast in that part is actually the other writer of the movie. Okay. So the other writer wrote the script is Asian, and so they didn't have anybody cast in that role, and they were in Dubai, and they were getting ready to shoot, and so the writer stepped forward. So he played that small role, and apparently they had a nice kiss, and they cut it out.
Okay, well, I know with Ghostbusters, my wife really enjoyed it. She was, you know, it's, you know, the women are pretty much independent. Some of it, I had to get used to at first, and I kept wanting to see, they had the cameos of all the actors that could be in it. And
rest in peace, Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Someone told me that Chris Hemsworth stole the show, did he?
He pretty much did.
Yeah, he's hot.
Okay.
Michelle came back.
He's hot, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's like, what...
He's a little bit of drool. Yeah, he's hot.
No, I'm not a big fan of his, but that's, yeah, a lot of the reasons. That's why Channing Tatum always steals the show. It's because he's
Chris,
hot for the majority of the audience.
Well, he's just hilarious in his role in the Ghostbusters, Chris is. And Michelle, when she comes back, says, it was nice to see him objectify the guy for once. So,
well, see, now,
it was hilarious. He did a great job.
I just love it when people are objectified. That's...
Yeah.
Why I go
anybody,
I'm like, Hollywood
really
isn't objectifying people, then what's going on in this country?
Yeah, anybody really is nice. Yeah. Well, with I haven't watched it yet, but I don't know. I struggle. Who's the main actress in it? I can't ever remember her name. That was in Spy and
Melissa McCarthy.
I've always struggled with her acting. I don't know. Like half the time I really enjoy it, and the other half it seems forced. Or very staged. Obviously, it's staged. But, you know, it shouldn't.
Staged acting?
Right? That's crazy.
That can't happen.
No, I get it. She was in the movie Spy. I loved her in that. Wow. That's brilliant.
Same.
The movie I don't like her in, I can't think of, I think it's Susan Sarandon, her mother, and they're traveling about, and the two of them get drunk and meet some men, and they're having a fight. And I can't think of the name of this movie.
Sorry, I missed that chick flick.
Okay, this was a total chick flick, and it did not make me happy.
I know. I'm worried about this Ghostbusters. I don't know.
It makes me wonder what is the matter with women that chick flicks are so boring.
With which chick flick?
This is something that must be changed, and that's why they need to read my books, right? I want tough women. Women that are soft and they can love you and kiss the man, but at the same time, if you need to rest and have a beer, I'll go out and kick some ass, and I'll see you a little bit later, honey. I don't know. Ghostbusters, I've not seen it. I'd like to. I don't want to judge a movie by the uniform they're wearing, but I didn't like what they're wearing. It's kind of a stupid reason to judge a poor film, but couldn't they have given something cool to wear?
Yeah, they explain it in the show, and it's a logical explanation, but yeah, that stripe, there's a reason that stripe.
There. Women don't like wearing stripes. No. Really slender girls love stripes.
Depends on, horizontal stripes, vertical stripes, diagonal stripes, diagonal left, diagonal right. So many stripes. I actually really like stripes, though. It's an issue.
Hey, did you guys go? And I haven't seen this movie yet either. Plaid. Did you see Independence Day?
Did Jacob?
No.
I have not, and I haven't heard good things
about it. Leave me alone. I haven't seen anything but The Secret Life of Pets, okay?
And it's awesome. I haven't seen it, but the trailers, the only part that's actually made me want to go is that poodle. When the owner, he put on classical music for his poodle and then leaves. And right as he leaves, he changes it to like heavy metal and he just death starts metal, bashing with it. Like, yes.
I think the biggest problem I'm going to have with Ghostbusters, and also a throwback, the movie that you were mentioning with Susan Sarandon and Melissa McCarthy is called Tammy.
Boom.
Thank you.
Biggest problem I have with Ghostbusters is the fact that I haven't seen it, but I have a friend that went and saw it, and
paging Dr. Google.
I got spoilers from him because I didn't really have a whole lot of interest to begin with. But then they basically take the actors, Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, and they don't let them be their characters from the original series. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess Venkman, which would be Bill Murray, instead of being Peter Venkman, he is like the EPA guy from the first Ghostbusters that makes him shut the machine off, which causes the giant explosion, which causes the ghost to go all over the place. And I haven't seen it, so I guess, Richard, is that true?
Pretty much so. They kind of had their spots. I expected them to eventually get back at the very end because they go to a firehouse originally to rent. It's too expensive, so then they go to a Chinese place to rent.
Right.
Old Chinese restaurant. Then at the end, they go back to the firehouse because the city's going to rent it for them. And I thought there at the end they would have the existing ones come back and say, yeah, this was actually us, and pay tribute, like it was another sequel rather than a remake.
Right.
Because you had all of them in there. Even at the very end, you had, Ripley. Who played Ripley?
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver had a little bit part. All the other actors. Rick Moranis did not. Is that his name?
Was Andy Potts in it?
Yes, she was in it. So I thought maybe at the end they might bring them all back together, just kind of like, oh, this was us, because the Dan Aykroyd character is a cab driver in this, and she talks about the ghost that they're chasing. He rattles off the stuff like his character would in the original Ghostbusters, but he's just a cabbie. But you knew that was a throwback.
No one's ever just
character.
A cabbie.
Yeah, so I would have liked to have seen him do that, but they didn't do that, so that was kind of sad. But
right, so they basically make it look like it's its own universe, which I have issues with that, but...
Jacob's a traditionalist.
I'm one of those purists that people hate on. So,
so go for it, Suzanne. Tear them up.
Yes.
This is what I'm getting out of this men talk here. You said Ripley from Aliens. Ripley is one of my all-time favorite female characters. Yep. All four of those movies I like, and you know what? People went to go see that, and that was a strong yet vulnerable woman with a complicated past, and people liked her, and her movies were great. Now Sigourney Weaver could pull it off. I just really like that character Ripley, so I would like to see maybe more movies with a character like that. She worked. Yeah. Ripley worked. Brilliant character.
How do you feel about go ahead.
Yep, I'm done.
Okay. I guess how do you feel about what it looks like they're doing with Harley Quinn in the new Suicide Squad movie?
I'm excited to see it. This is why I'm really excited. As a writer, I'm excited to see a movie that's told from the bad guy's point of view.
Sure. No, I think
right?
Right. I think it has a lot of potential, but I saw Batman v Superman, and first off, I was disappointed that there was no court case, because it's written like a court case. But also, that movie, I think it disappointed me a lot. So I guess the burden of proof for me now is on DC. Like, you have to make a good movie to get me back in
well,
the theater.
Well, that's how I am. Have you seen the Justice League trailer that dropped at Comic-Con?
At Comic-Con, yeah.
Yeah. And that one is another one where it's like, man, I hope this is good, but from what I've seen, it's pending, you know. It's all really sketchy. And I've heard that a lot of the actors' chemistry on Suicide Squad wasn't the greatest. Maybe not on film, I don't know, but I know off screen there was a lot of tension with the whole cast.
So well, I think that sorry about that.
No, go ahead.
I was just say Harley Quinn. I think she really is the most cosplayed female character at the cons that I go to. I'll see at least 5 Harley Quinns over any other female character you can think of. It's always Harley Quinn, and many different versions of Harley Quinn. It's not like the same outfit, whether it's steampunk or kind of even space age. Every girl that dresses as Harley Quinn puts a different twist on it, and it's just funny that people love that character. Women love that character,
which is terrible, because I mean,
she's
looking
she's
at her
nice.
Life choices and where she is.
She's in love, you know, with the same person.
In a very abusive Marvel, relationship, can't get out.
Is Marvel doing Black Widow? Will she get her own movie?
It's been put on hiatus, and
yeah,
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
I don't. Kevin Feige, I think is his name, the guy who runs Marvel, has said that he really wants to do it, but they haven't put it on a schedule yet to where it's going to be released. However, they do have, after Infinity War Part 2, they have, I think, 3 movie dates that they've set, which will be Marvel movies, but they don't have titles for them yet, because one of them was supposed to be The Inhumans, but then it got pulled.
Oh, really?
Well, okay. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has pretty much ruined the Inhumans storyline, because they did almost 2 solid seasons of, we're chasing Inhumans, we're doing Inhumans, this is what they are. So, I think they pulled it. But when it comes to DC, I'm more interested in how they tell the Wonder Woman storyline than I am anything else that they're putting out. Because Wonder Woman Wonder Woman would be the first, I guess, solo female superhero movie out there. So,
well, Wonder Woman remains the top female superheroine of all times. You look at any poll, I don't care what country, Wonder Woman is always number one. She's never fallen from that rank. She's always number one. It's kind of like almost compared her to John Wayne, and I guess I just did. Right, but that's your number one strong, I guess, because she's, I don't know, she's honest, honorable, strong, good looking. And I just find it interesting that that's your number one gal. And then everyone else in your top 10, everybody shifts all the time.
See, I'm the lone DC
apologist.
I love the DC stuff, so I'm excited about everything that's coming out.
It's not that I don't love it. I'm obviously a huge fan of DC. It's that I'm not a fan of how they're interpreting it and how they're handling it.
See, I like the more violent content. That to me,
I don't
like,
care about it being violent.
Makes sense.
I don't like violent content.
I do.
I don't like Batman just openly murdering people.
I'm just kidding, Richard. That's
just me.
I'm fine with it.
I know, they are doing Shazam, aren't they? I've heard that's in the works.
Talks with Dwayne Johnson for that, yes.
He's going to play Black Adam. He's not Shazam.
Okay, so. I was going to say, bad casting. Yeah.
So, no,
Shazam. Oh, my God.
That'd be a good one.
But what was the show we were watching that had the... Archer had the ISIS callback.
Yeah.
Do you remember the ISIS, Shazam ISIS Hour, Suzanne?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for dating me.
I loved that one.
That's funny. I used to watch, when I was growing up, I watched Fantastic Four. I watched Spider-Man. Yeah. And I also am a huge fan of Johnny Quest.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember Johnny Quest?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Hanna-Barbera time.
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
I loved Race Bannon as a little girl. If you could have sex with a cartoon character and I was a little bit older, a race band, and I would have done him. He's wonderful.
Well, you have your chance, though, because he's running as Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate.
If you ever get a chance,
look up Mike Pence and then pull up a picture of old school race Bannon. And
I do. I never thought of that.
Well, maybe that's why he picked him. Then that's funny.
I mean,
that's really funny.
I mean, I'd do it, but you know, I mean, but I'm also I also dedicate to jokes. So
I'm looking forward to the Flash. Not the series, not that actor, but the Ezra Miller is playing the Flash in Justice League, and he was the tall, dark-haired boy on Perks of Being a Wildflower, or Wallflower, I mean. Not Wildflower.
Percy
totally
Jackson?
Different flower.
Hmm? Percy Jackson? Did he play Percy Jackson?
The guy that played Percy Jackson? Oh, a different person on Perks of Being a Wildflower.
Yeah.
The taller, dark, the gay one.
Yeah, that one. So I'm looking forward to it, and he's... I think he'll do a good job.
Did you guys see released today the teaser for Aquaman?
Mm-mm.
No, I haven't been on the internet at all this weekend.
They have what's the name of our sexy actor that's in Aquaman?
Jason
He's
Momoa.
Standing there in
Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Game of Thrones. It's like a huge tidal wave is getting ready to crash over him, and he's Oh my God, look at that! That's a crack up. It is Race Bannon. But oh my God, that's hysterical!
Aww.
So if you can imagine how old the man that they were depicting in that comic, in that cartoon was, like
I'm
you
ashamed.
Were a little girl. You, yeah,
I'm ashamed
bit.
Of
Should
myself. Well, actually, as a girl, I did love Johnny Torch from Fantastic Four. I did like him, so it was a toss-up. And Thor. They had good cartoons as
Thor.
A kid. But great, I lusted after an old man. Fantastic. They need love too, just not from a child.
Thor is too simple-minded and jockey.
Oh my God,
no, it's
funny.
Never been my go-to type.
Yeah, in this day and age, that gets you in trouble. Either direction will get you in trouble. Oh man, but no, I'm excited. I haven't seen much of the stuff coming out of San Diego yet. Are they just starting or are they wrapping up?
Comic-Con
they're wrapping up.
It was this past weekend. So
I would like to go there next year. That would be the jewel in my crown. We'd go to Comic-Con in San Diego.
Yes. I've been talking with friends for years about trying to go down there, but we're all still poor and we can't afford to go.
Struggle.
But yeah, they also released a Doctor Strange trailer, which looks fantastic.
I'm excited for that because Benedict Cumberbatch is one of my all-time favorite actors.
Yeah, you put him in anything and it's pretty much amazing.
Yeah, he's
except
great.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
There's Lenny.
That's funny. He has a wonderful voice, I'll tell you that. I liked him. Hell in the Imitation Game. Benedict's good. He's wonderful as Sherlock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're right. He's good in everything he does. I mean,
he is.
I didn't mind him in Star Trek. I just want people to come up with some fresh ideas. Quit redoing things, right? God, Lenny, damn it! No more repeats.
I've never written anything that was unoriginal in my life.
Well, the thing I don't like about the new Star Trek film is they're destroying the ship again. I'm kind of getting tired of them destroying
the ship again.
It's like, you know, this is supposed to be a formidable ship, supposedly. And yet it gets taken down quite a bit.
Yeah, but
it's upset to see it.
And I did notice, just recently, I watched the first one again. And I didn't catch it the first time, but in the first movie, the rebooted movie, they never actually go with the idea that the Enterprise is an exploratory ship. And
well, to me, I think in this new parallel universe, the way that Vulcan was destroyed, there's not as many Vulcans, so I can see the Federation becoming more warlike instead of scientific.
Right, and that's why I noticed that they trained them like it was a warship more than a, you know, scientist and exploring.
Does
which I thought was
think
interesting.
It's just a tiny little bit immature to be fighting over space.
No.
Tell that to the Klingons and then the Romulans. But even
you're
then
gonna die.
They still. But at the end of Star Trek, the rebooted one, they still end with Spock Prime saying, you know, space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise, its ongoing mission to explore and seek out new life and explore strange new worlds to boldly go where no one's gone before. Is that right?
Pretty close.
I think you get a prize for that, saying that. You get a prize.
And, here's a lolly.
But, I mean, that's so, you know, that's how they ended the first one. So they basically said, hey, no, they're still going out to explore. The only difference is that there's so many new fancy guns and, phasers and torpedoes on this new one because we need, as a society, now need that flashy stuff to keep us entertained. When in the original series, it was the Enterprise didn't seem to have a whole lot of that, and if they had to get into a fight, it probably wasn't going to go their way.
True, and that's why I said with the destruction of Vulcan, that leads to that becoming a more warlike society.
Right.
And it leads to the audience as well.
Sure.
We want the flash and bangs.
Does anybody know what that new Star Trek TV series, do you know what it's going to be about at all? That comes out next year?
On Netflix? 2016
on ABC? I don't know.
No, so I think it's on CBS.
CBS, is it going to be more warlike? Does anybody know what?
I haven't heard a whole lot about it.
It's going to be on Netflix too.
I haven't either.
I think they dropped a trailer for it at Comic-Con, but don't quote me on that because I'm still behind. The only thing I really know that they did at Comic-Con was trailers for, you know, the Marvel and the DC movies that are supposed to be coming out soon. So, but I guess one of the things I can say if you follow for, because you guys are kind of ragging on it for destroying the ship for a third time. Well, if you think about it though, in Wrath of Khan, what happens? They beat the living hell out of that ship.
Oh yeah,
they don't destroy it.
No, well, that's been fairly normal,
right?
You know, and the so, shields are down.
Right, you know, shields are down. They, you know, the thing is basically on life support. I mean, it takes Spock giving his life for them to actually get out of there. And in the second, you know, and in Star Trek Into Darkness, while I am not a fan of that movie, you know, they basically, the ship gets beat to hell. It's not necessarily destroyed, but it takes Kirk giving his life to get rid of it. But then in Search for Spock, what happens? They have to blow the ship
up.
Boom. Yep. And so, I mean, they're in the first three movies with the original cast, they don't, I guess like I say, the ship gets basically destroyed. It has to be rebuilt from the ground up. So they're still holding true to that, kind of.
Well, I will tell you, when the bad guy takes that ship out, it's cool. I hated to enjoy it, but the Enterprise, it goes down fast, and it was the most fascinating battle I've ever seen. And what the bad guy, it's just a swarm of baddies come at them. There's just so many, there's nothing they could do, and they just, they finally says, because, you know, take, the bad guy said something like cut her throat, and they sever right at the neck of the ship, and it's, you know what, it still was upsetting, but even when the ship's dead and it's on the ground, she's still got some moves.
I just always love whenever, you know, they put up the shields, because they make, I mean, it's not like a huge deal, but they make at least a little bit of a point to say, all right, we're putting up the shields and everything, but either we can't, something's been damaged, or within one or two shots, the shields are down, holy crap. I mean, I want to know who designs the shields. Yeah, I want to, that's honestly one thing that's always bugged me. Like, it's like, that's terrible shields.
Yeah, well, they're not the best shields.
Well, but we're also talking about, this is the Federation before the Klingons join. And the Klingons are the war race. So, this is back when, you know, we're talking about, this is when the Vulcans are, you know, basically the main scientific minds, and they really don't care for fighting. So, I mean, when the Klingons join, basically by next generation time rolls around, they do a much better job of actually fighting.
That's true. Absolutely right.
Until they have to face the Borg or the Romulans.
That's spoken like a true Trekkie.
And I prefer Star Wars, so.
I'm going to put a plastic bag over your head. I like both. I like Star Wars and Star Trek.
I like sacrilege. Star
Wars. That's how
it's
I
not,
am.
It's not, because I like DC and I like Marvel. Why can't I have everything?
Yes.
Yeah, I can have it all.
Thank you.
I'll get the entire menu. Yeah.
I like DC. Except for their movies, because they really haven't made, outside of the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy, they haven't made a decent one yet.
Oh, I've had fun with them.
I said it.
The original Michael Keaton Batman was really good.
Yeah, it was okay.
It was really good.
I like Star Wars too.
But you're right,
Star Wars
other than that. I don't know. I haven't seen a lot of the new ones. Go ahead, Suzanne.
What do you guys think of Guardians of the Galaxy? I've seen that movie, I think, 20 times. I love that film.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
awesome.
We've seen it quite a few, but not that many. But
I think it's one of the best Marvel movies ever made. I think it's one of the best movies ever made.
I do too. I watched it today because I wanted to kind of put it against Star Trek from last night.
Sure.
And I was looking at the aliens. So last night, you're looking at the Federation, what aliens are there, and the makeup. I thought that the makeup in Guardians of the Galaxy and when they're on at Nova Corps, and there's just so many different aliens there, and they look so good. Why that movie did not win more Oscars, didn't even win any Oscars, should have. It was brilliant, and I thought the makeup on Guardians was phenomenal and much better than last night with the Federation. I don't know who did the makeup on some of these creatures they had, but remember in Star Wars and the Ewoks, they kind of have glassy eyes. Yep. Please don't make, you know, creatures that have glass eyes. I can tell it has glass eyes. It looks like a furry at a con and doesn't look real, and I don't like it.
Yeah.
So that means they had some creatures last night in the movie that I wasn't going for it.
We reviewed
it. And that movie was really beautiful last night. It's like, why would you run a beautiful film putting a fish-headed girl with glass eyes in it at the very last shot? I want to just stab her. It's like, get off the camera. You could have done anything else but that. Just put a human, change their color, put some gills on them, and let it go. But don't do a fish head with glass eyes. And Galaxy Fest, Guardians of the Galaxy, they didn't do that shit. It was a beautiful film.
It was well made. And I think that the acting and the storyline in it were really amazing, too. Really, all the characters, but especially Bradley Cooper and... damn it, who plays Peter Quill? I like him, but I can't remember.
Chris Pratt,
yeah. The music was awesome, but it did help the storyline. But I think that it was a very sentimental and kind of realistic star, you know, saga. It was really cool. It was about what I would see, like, if we really had, you know, all of space and we could just jump from planet to planet and go where we wanted. This is how it probably more likely be going than, you know, and you'd have crazies like Ronan trying to destroy planets and all that. But like most people are just like, hey, man, I'm just trying to make a living, sell some space junk, you know. And I really like that about that movie. It's very earthy.
This totally has nothing to do with.
Yeah, Firefly.
To do with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh,
really.
Here we go.
It goes back to when we were first talking about the new Ghostbusters. Totally switching gears a bit. Okay, I told you it was pretty hardcore switch. I mean, because this is a really good example for me, because I wasn't thinking of how I could express why I'm not too enthused for the new Ghostbusters, and it's because the team, all the ladies in Ghostbusters, I haven't noticed a great chemistry between them, at least in the trailers, like there is in Guardians of the Galaxy. Because in Guardians, it's an effortless funny. They all, you know, it's so completely real. I can see it all happening. And you understand, you know, it flows really well. And to me, that's what I'm missing. I'm not seeing in Ghostbusters.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and plus Guardians of the Galaxy is a way more original story.
Guardians of the Galaxy had me when your main heroes, when they're arrested, and it's like you're getting a teaser before the movie came out, and they come walking out, and they're getting ready to have their mugshot taken, and they're just standing there. I already wanted to see it. I already thought it looked wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Ghostbusters, when I'm seeing they're standing there with that god-awful outfit with the stripe, it's like a barrier. It says something, and I'm looking at them, and you're right, I don't see the chemistry either with the women.
Right,
but I haven't seen the movie yet, so I need I need to go see it.
I guess I don't understand why they all like pass. Maybe. I don't understand why they remade Ghostbusters with four women. I really don't understand. Like,
I don't either.
I understand why in the 80s they made Ghostbusters with four men. You know, and
I don't think that
is a good answer to that.
Well,
like,
it's not a great answer, but I think a lot of it was. They're trying to flip it so hard to show that we've matured. I use that loosely as a society to allow women to have bigger roles and everything.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that's necessary.
It isn't.
I mean, we know without this being a big hoopla about it that women
in the 80s, it would have been really cool to have four women play Ghostbusters instead of Bill Murray and Harold Ramis. Unfortunately, those guys wrote it.
Right.
So,
well, my thing is
Dan Aykroyd and Harold
Ramis. Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, because Bill Murray got brought in when Jim Belushi died.
Everyone loves
and
Bill Murray.
And this is if they took
Jim Belushi died.
If they took Star Trek and you know the three movies now that we have of it, and if they switched genders on those characters, or if they did that with Star Wars, if they did that with DC or anything, which I know they do kind of have already, you know, Batgirl, Batman, Supergirl, whatever. But you know, I'm saying I think there would have been a huge fuss, not because women can't act, but because that's not the character. And you have to respect the character.
But not
that's another good point. Let me just talk to April for a second because she's coming up with some good points here. So, April, when I just went to Contamination Con in Missouri last month, and they had some of the cast from the original Battlestar Galactica. Ooh. And so Dirk Benedict, when I was probably your age, I was madly in love with this man. So anyways, whatever happened, I pushed this man's button, and for an hour and a half, I had the wildest conversation with this guy, but he told me that he was offended and angry that in the redone Battlestar Galactica, Starbuck was made a woman. He was so angry, and I'm talking, jumping on his feet, screaming, yelling, angry, and all I did was say, hey, how you doing? I used to love you, and off you went.
Right.
He told me he wrote an article in a British paper and released it there on the castration of Starbuck and said that now literature and movies have castrated the American alpha male and you can't find in movies or literature. He's going on and on about there's no more John Wayne's. He's gone. Instead, all you're finding are these strong women. And I thought, well, hell, I can't really tell him I'm a strong woman and I write about stars, you know, strong women. Right. Not. But he was really angry that Starbuck was a woman. And like I said, the castration is what he said.
I mean, I don't.
Well, I wasn't saying anything like that.
Right? Linda, you terrible
person.
Well,
you're not Dirk.
But no, and obviously, I don't think that that's happening or anything. But
I don't either.
What I see is that it's like if they tried to cast Wonder Woman as a man, could you imagine?
Don't get me wrong. I love the gender bending in Ghostbusters. And I've read some stories about Conan the Barbariana, like that somebody redid. They redid Conan as a woman and gender bent. All they did was basically gender bent Red Nails and a few of the other Conan stories.
I don't have a problem with gender bending, but I think gender bending should stay as for the fans.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think gender bending. If
they're gonna have four gals get together and do the Ghostbusters thing in New York, if they're remaking the movie, why does it have to be an exact crisscross of what it used to be? Why can't it be something more original? Is what I'm saying. Like the whole idea is people getting together to bust ghosts in a very big and fabulous way. I don't understand why they had to have one black woman and then three white women, you know, and like basically say, hey, we're going to make this as prejudiced as possible and put it right in your face and call it equality when what it really is just flipping the script.
Well, and that's a big hoopla with a lot of feminazis
I'm a feminazi, so that's, yeah.
Well, it's because feminazis don't believe in the equality, they believe in the putting down of men. You know, it's basically.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm for. I'm for that.
God.
Hey, did anybody, Stephanie Myers rewrote Twilight and she gender switched.
Boring.
So Bella is a boy and Jacob and Edward are a girl. Did anybody read that?
No, I did.
I did not. I don't know anything more other than it was rewritten and she switched the sexes of your three main characters and I wondered what that was like.
I don't know. I think
about that one. I know it exists, but I haven't read it. I also know that she was starting to work on. She rewrote the Twilight series from Edward's point of view. Basically, he was giving. It was his account of the story, just like at one point was Bella's account. But I know that got scrapped too. But
really, the character had the most meat on the bones that you could do something with. Maybe not for a tweens setting, but was Jasper one of his brothers, because he when he was turned, like, he became a general in the army or some sort of officer in the army, and it was a very dark past for him and everything. And to me, his story had the most grit to it, and I don't think it was delved in on enough or as much as it could have been, for obvious reasons. He's not the main character and everything.
I agree with that too. It was a good character, and I like that flashback. Yeah, he would be a more interesting character to find out a little about.
Yeah, but I understand why it hasn't gone anywhere, because it's not really the way how she writes. I think Jasper's a little too serious for her.
I never would have imagined us spending this much time on Stephanie Myers.
Man, she's a complex woman.
She would be so happy right now.
All right.
Well, send this podcast to her Facebook site and see what she has to say about it.
Oh, God.
But you said you're working on more stuff in your universes, and you're working on the Werewolf trilogy, Vampire trilogy. What else are you playing with?
This is it. And you think about why Stephanie would stay in it. It's worldcraft. As an author, when you spend a lot of time and when you worldcraft, and you like Star Trek or Star Wars, you love that worldcraft so much that you want to go back to it time and time again. And you can come up and tell the story from many different people's point of views in that world that you create. So with Dead Hearts, I've now written 11 books in this series. I think it worked. They work all are different. They work really well. And I can go back now, and I think I will tell. So it's be 10,000 years ago, told from the villain's point of view. I might deal with my bad guy and do a trilogy with your villain. So then you'll think some of them you won't really feel like they're bad guys, right? Because you'll hear the story from their point of view. I could stay in this world forever, but I'm trying to get the hell out of it at the same time, because I need to. My writing style, and probably a lot of authors, my writing style changes per what type of books I'm writing. So the Dead Hearts is for young adult, and I write in a very quick, fast-paced writing style. And I just turned into the publisher a book called The Lady of Shadows, and that's the working title. Maybe it will change, but it's kind of like Crimson Tide, the movie that came out. So it's a gothic horror romance, but my writing style is different. So I guess I have to say flowery, but my writing style is different. But I like it. So it's kind of a romance, but I put horror in it because I just can't write a romance story and let that be it. I've got to have other things going on. But now I'm working on it coming. I have 20 books in my arsenal. So let's say I have 10 novels. No, I've lied. 15 novels already written for Dead Hearts and three other series. But I've got 20 books I've written in my life collecting dust. So I just pulled another one out, and it's a sci-fi coming of age post-apocalypse with it's like, good Lord, apparently I love the apocalypse. I love to destroy everything, but it's sci-fi, and again my writing style is different from the other genres. So when I switch genres, my writer's voice changes, which I like that, and I think the readers would like that too, because it shows Susie Lambden's pretty damn versatile as a writer.
So you're looking at trying to diversify what's out there for your fans.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
I want them to I've got a lot of things for the fans, a lot of different stuff coming, and God, I would say things are really taking off for me nicely, and I'm starting to go, and maybe I even say Mike Mundy, having met him has really changed my life in a really positive way. He's a really wonderful man, and now in Colorado, I am treated like a queen out there and have celebrity status, where at Galaxy Fest, right, I was with Garrett Wang and, come on, think of his name, Alexander Montgomery. So two of your Star Trek guys and Mike Mundy and me, and there were other folks too, but we're your celebrity stars at the con, and that was it was fun, and it's different. I'll tell you this, it's very different being a celebrity going to a con and being just an author going and being in the artist alley, and I can't tell you which is more fun. It's just, it's completely different. Okay. With the celebrity status, I'm like, I'm a warm and fuzzy person, and when I go to a con, I want people to come sit by me, come talk to me and hang out and tell me what you need as a writer. How can I help you improve your writing and shoot the shit? But when you have the celebrity stuff, you're kind of more unapproachable. And I don't find that fun. I'm not going to a comic con not to be unapproachable. I want you, your fan. I don't care if you like Walking Dead, you like Star Wars or Star Trek, whatever. I want you to come over and talk to me and hang out for a bit. It's like making a new buddy at the con for the weekend.
Right. Well, and it's almost, it can be just as fun, if not more fun, if you find someone like, yeah, Trekkies or Star Wars friends that likes one or the other and maybe has a disagreeing view, if they can handle that. Because there are some people that just get angry, and it's never, never, never a joy. But I love
usually
having...
Usually when hardcore Trekkies and Star Wars cosplayers meet, it's not pretty.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it is funny. I have some friends in Wichita, and they will cosplay both Star Trek, and they'll do Star Wars, and then they'll go do Walking Dead. So they kind of do... They love everything, and that's really how you should be. And not, I'm tired of the purists. Relax and have fun. It's about fun.
True.
Don't take yourself too serious, or don't take any franchise or any... world so damn seriously that you're gonna argue with someone else. My God, we all, there's plenty enough out there that everybody can like something, and but don't be such a purist about it. Calm down.
Yeah, right. Calm down. Yep. Lynn.
And that's what I have fun with. That's why I wanted to do this and have fun. But so you're getting ready to you've already released your fourth book, Defiant Hearts. In October you're going to release, you said, Immortal Hearts.
Right, so the fifth book. Okay. Immortal Hearts, because right, so now you're going to find out some characters might be immortal from the zombie virus.
Okay. I kind of have a feeling.
And, so the, and then after that, I'll have, well, it just kind of depends. And there's three more books in the lineup to be published. So two different series and then the continuation of Dead Hearts.
So if they keep track of you, they can go to SuzanneLambda.com. You have a Facebook page. Is it under Morbid Hearts or Dead Hearts? What's your Facebook page under that they can
Facebook, keep track? Facebook, I put it under Morbid Hearts.
Morbid Hearts, okay. That's what I was thinking about.
And then, they,
sure.
And then they can find me too at DeadHeartsNovel.com.
Okay.
And you know what? More than welcome. Anybody out there writing, you got problems, you just need to shout at someone and get some advice or an opinion, please contact me. I exist to help others. I enjoy it. I like to compliment and get other writers going and inspired. I'm not out here to be top dog and to cripple other people. I want, there's room on the bookshelf for everybody's novel. So please feel free to contact me. I'm very nice.
That's very cool of you. Very cool.
Oh, thank you guys very much.
Yeah, but we want to probably need to sign off. It's getting late for us, and I got to get up early tomorrow.
All right, so, we'll talk to you guys later. Thank you very much.
Suzanne, we appreciate you coming on. We'll try to do some more BSing with you later on when you have the time, so don't be a stranger by any means.
All right, guys, take care.
You do too. The same.
Easy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, that was Suzanne Lambda of the Dead Heart series. And again, you can see her stuff at SuzanneLambda.com. On Facebook, you can do Morbid Hearts. Look that up, and that is her page. You can also find her, she said, at DeadHearts.com or DeadHeartsTheNovel.com. So be sure to look her up and keep track of her books. We've had fun tonight. We hope everybody's had fun listening to us. We'll see you on the flip side. Bye.
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 I'm gonna wreck it!
I can fix it!
Can we do this again? And can we see you again?
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.